Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 25. I'll be reading verses 13 through 27. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His word is read. Acts chapter 25, beginning in verse 13. Several days later, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived in Caesarea and paid a courtesy call on Festus. Since they were staying there several days, Festus presented Paul's case to the king, saying, "There's a man who was left as a prisoner by Felix. When I was in Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Jews presented their case and asked that he be condemned. I answered them that it is not the Roman custom to give someone up before the accused faces the accusers and has an opportunity for a defense against the charges. So when they had assembled here, I did not delay. The next day I took my seat at the tribunal and ordered the man to be brought in. The accuser stood up, but brought no charges against him of the evils I was expecting. Instead, they had some disagreement with him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus, a dead man Paul claimed to be alive. Since I was at a loss in a dispute over such things, I asked him if he wanted to go to Jerusalem and be tried there regarding these matters. But when Paul appealed to be held for trial by the emperor, I ordered him to be kept in custody until I could send him to Caesar. Agrippa said to Festus, 'I would like to hear the man myself.' 'Tomorrow you will hear him,' he replied. So the next day Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp and entered the auditorium with the military commanders and prominent men of the city. When Festus gave the command, Paul was brought in. Then Festus said, 'King Agrippa, and all men present with us, you see this man. The whole Jewish community has appealed to me concerning him, both in Jerusalem and here, shouting that he should not live any longer. I found that he had not done anything deserving of death. But when he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to send him. I have nothing definite to write to my lord about him. Therefore, I have brought him before all of you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after this examination is over, I may have something to write. For it seems unreasonable to me to send a prisoner without indicating the charges against him." You may be seated. As we look at our passage today in our study of Acts, and I would like to thank you for coming out on the solstice. This is the shortest day of the year today. Tomorrow, you're going to have a little bit more daylight, and each day is going to get a little bit longer, but it's also the first day of winter. So it's okay that you have to wear a coat here. Well, Paul was facing many false accusations, both in Jerusalem and Caesarea. There were people accusing him of all kinds of things that they couldn't prove anything. But Paul, after he saw he was not going to get a fair hearing, after he knew that Festus knew that he was innocent and still was not going to give him justice, he appealed to Caesar. Now, we have not a king on earth that we appeal to, but we appeal to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the maker of all the universe. And every knee will bow. Everyone that's ever worn a crown will stand before him and kneel and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. But men put people in position of authority. And we see Festus. Festus was a very honorable man, according to the historians of the time. Unlike his predecessor, Felix. Felix was a very brutal man, a man that was very corrupt, couldn't handle the situation of being governor, and he was withdrawn. Rome says, "You're fired," basically, and called him back home and sent a guy named Festus, his replacement. Festus wanted to get the right handle on the situation. So as soon as he got into the country where he's going to be a governor, he went to the capital city, the Jewish capital. Caesarea was the Roman capital. Jerusalem was the Jewish capital. So he went up to Jerusalem. He stayed there for 8 to 10 days, and then he came back down to Caesarea, where his main garrison was. Now, while he was in Jerusalem, and during the time that he was in Caesarea, there were people calling out for Paul's execution. The people just didn't have any reason. They just didn't want Paul to live because they didn't agree with what he was saying. Today, I was just saw an article that shows this kind of hatred. In Richmond, Virginia, they had the grave of a Confederate general dug up and moved 80 miles out of town because they didn't want his body in their town. Now, this guy has been dead since 1865, but there's still such hatred. They wanted him dug up and moved out of town. And one of his ancestors were there, and they were jeering at him that he needs to be disciplined too. The descendant, seeing his ancestor's grave dug up and moved. Well, Paul had people that hated him because they didn't like what he was saying. And Festus expressed it well. So the big issue is Jesus alive? And that's the question we face too. Is Jesus alive? Now, a lot of people will acknowledge that Jesus was born. But they will say he was just a historical figure, a philosopher, like Plato or Aristotle, but not acknowledge who he is. Because if you acknowledge that Jesus is alive, then you have to acknowledge there's a resurrection. If you acknowledge there's a resurrection, that means our physical, natural death here is not the end. There's something more that's coming. And if we acknowledge there's something more that's coming, we also have to acknowledge we're not the one in charge of what's coming next. And we will have to face the one that's in charge. And just like at the time of Paul, people today do not want to acknowledge that there is a day that we're going to face the one that is in charge. Because our lives are going to be judged by the creator of all the universe. Well, Festus says, I don't know what to write. I just can't make a decision here. I don't know what the truth is. King Agrippa, can you help me? Well, let me tell you a little bit about King Agrippa. King Agrippa is the son of the Herod that killed James. He's also the great-grandson of the Herod at Jesus' birth. And his great-uncle was the Herod of the Gospels during the time of Jesus' earthly ministry. His sister, not his wife, is Bernice. Bernice is his sister. Bernice and Agrippa, their sister is Drusilla, not the one from Cinderella, but a different Drusilla. Drusilla, who was the wife of Felix. Now, Bernice, she had quite a checkered past. She was very promiscuous. She was with her brother because she was in a relationship with her brother. But after a while, she became the mistress to the Caesar, Emperor Vespasian, and later Vespasian's son Titus. But she always came back to her brother. So here she is with her brother. Everybody knows their relationship. That was clear from the historians. They're going to judge God's representative. And so in they come, dressed in all their finery, with great pomp, it said they came in. I don't know if they had little trumpets. Here comes King Agrippa and his sister Bernice and all the commanders of the army. There were said to be 5,000 Roman soldiers there, and the head of each 1,000, the legions, those were the ones that came in. So 5 high-ranking, like 5 generals came in with them. All the prominent people with all this pomp, all the leaders of the people came in to see God's representative. God's representative was in chains. They were dressed in their finery, and they're going to judge the spokesman of God. It's like you go out and start your own country, and the representative of the United States comes in. You have 2 rowboats in your Navy and 3 slingshots in your Army. And everybody comes in with great pomp supporting you. And you ridicule the representative of the United States, who one soldier could wipe out your army and navy. But that's the kind of situation. Paul is the representative of God. You are a representative of God. Scripture tells us we are Christ's ambassadors. We are to give God's message to a world that will face him one day. So even though Agrippa and Bernice have a very unrighteous life, they're coming in to make a judgment over the righteous Paul. And as Festus says, I don't know what to write to my Lord. And if you look at that in verse 26, I have nothing definite to write to my Lord about him. My Lord is referring to the Caesar. Lord in Greek is Kyrios, the same term we use with Lord Jesus. Festus is making his statement. I have a man as my ultimate authority. And he's acknowledging that he has rejected God as his ultimate authority when he says, I don't have anything to write to my Lord Caesar. Instead of acknowledging that God is Lord, the first 2 emperors refused the title of Lord because they said it was too glorified. They did not deserve that title. But by the time of the emperor now, Nero, he had accepted that, and there was even worship of the emperor as God. Later, we see Nero having the Christians executed because they refused to worship him as God. Now, during the time when Paul appealed to Nero, they didn't know the side of Nero. He had just come to power, and they didn't know where he was going to go with his arrogance. Festus says, I don't know what to say. Well, there are a lot of people today, as we tell them the truth, I don't know what to say. Who is my Lord? As we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we need to remember that it's the King, the Creator of the universe, that was born in Bethlehem. Not just a man who lived and said great things, but the God of all creation. We need to understand who he is, because all of us are going to have to give an answer. We are all going to stand before God. God said, I'm not going to let you into heaven if you say, I don't know what to say. There's an evangelism course called Evangelism Explosion. It has little questions. One of the questions, if you were standing before God and he asked you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? We need to understand that the only answer is because of the hope we have that was born in Bethlehem. God himself came to pay the debt that we owe so that we can have access to heaven. Next week, Sunday, and Sunday is the first day of the week, we're going to look about the hope that Paul is telling to Agrippa and Bernice and Festus and all the leading men. You know, sometimes we have opportunities to share a message with people we wouldn't be able to any other way. Like sometimes when we go to the hospital, you know, there's some doctors and nurses we get to share the gospel with. Paul probably wouldn't get a hearing with the king, with the governor, with all the highest ranking officers if God had not worked out a plan that he was on trial. He had a captive audience, and he shared the hope of Jesus Christ. The same message of hope that he shared with everyone he encountered everywhere. The same message we need to share with everyone we encounter everywhere. Do you know the hope of Christmas? We need to share that with others. There's a lot of people that do not have any hope. But just like the Jewish leaders, they have anger, but not hope. We need to show there's hope no matter what situation we're in. Stand with me for our closing prayer. And then I'm going to have you sit back down after we have our prayer because we have communion. I forgot about that. So, Lord, thank you for this time we could be here. I pray as now we celebrate the remembrance of your sacrifice for us, that we will not think lightly of what you have done, but take this communion in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen.